Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
I invite you to turn with me in the Westminster Confession, chapter 11, which is dealing with justification by faith, to chapters 2 through 6. That's what we're going to be considering this afternoon. So it is chapter 11, justification, and paragraphs 2 through 6 are found on page 115 in the Book of Forms and Confessions. Now, there are a number of articles that we are going to go through. Some of them restate the understanding of justification by faith that is found in paragraph 1. Others add nuances to that. And I'd like to draw together those nuances as we consider that it is by faith alone that we are justified. And that's what we're going to begin with in paragraph 2. Notice that it uses those long dashes to set off the fact that we're dealing with faith. And paragraph 2 begins, "Faith, receiving and resting on Christ and his righteousness, is the only instrument of justification. Yet it is not the only grace in the person justified, but is always accompanied by all other saving graces. Justifying faith is not dead, but works by love. Christ," paragraph 3, "Christ, by his obedience and death, fully discharged the debt of all those who are justified. He made a proper, real, and full satisfaction to his Father's justice in their behalf. Yet, because he was freely given by the Father for them, and because his obedience and satisfaction were freely accepted in their stead, and not for anything in them, their justification is only of free grace. It was God's purpose in the justification of sinners to glorify both his exact justice and his rich grace. Paragraph 4, "God from all eternity decreed to justify all the elect. In the fullness of time, Christ died for their sins and rose again for their justification. Nevertheless, they are not justified until, in due time, the Holy Spirit actually applies Christ to them. Paragraph 5, "God continues to forgive the sins of those who are justified. Although they can never fall from that state of justification, yet they may, by their sins, fall under God's fatherly displeasure, and not have the light of his countenance restored to them until they humble themselves, confess their sin, and plead for pardon and renew their faith and repentance. Lastly, the justification of believers under the Old Testament was, in all these respects, one and the same with the justification of believers under the New Testament. Now, there's a lot to take in these paragraphs. In Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we begin this afternoon, I would like to begin with an illustration that will hopefully help you understand and help you see from these paragraphs the beautiful relationship between faith, believing in God, and justification. To help us understand what God's Word is getting at, when Paul can say in Romans 5 verse 1, by faith we have been justified. And that's the privilege we have. But also in verse 5, that the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That we are justified by faith alone. And what is that by? What is the character of that work of faith? Now imagine for a moment that you're dying of thirst in the desert. You're so far gone that you can't get up anymore, you can't move, you're on the verge of death because you haven't had anything to drink for a long time, and so you're going to die. Now, on the edge of the desert, there is a well of life-giving water, but you can't get there. You're breathing almost your last breath. And we need to recognize that is our condition in sin. When Scripture says we're dead in our sin, there's nothing we can do. We're stranded. We're left to ourselves. We're going to die. We're dead, actually, spiritually, in our transgressions and sins. There's nothing we can do in of ourselves to acquire salvation. But God is working. That's a beautiful contrast that Paul brings out in Ephesians 2. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy with the great love with which he loved us, he sets us free. By grace we've been saved. God's working. Now back to the illustration. There's this life-giving water, the well of water, or it's a well of life-giving water, get the illustration straight, the well of life-giving water that exists somewhere, and that would save your life. Well, what the Holy Spirit does is he takes a water jug, he takes a vessel, and he dips it into that life-giving water, and he brings that to you, and he actually pours it down your throat. You don't reach out for it, but he pours it down your throat. And that life-giving water is the work of Jesus Christ. And it's this twofold character that these paragraphs remind us of, that Jesus has paid the penalty for our sins, so the reason we're lost in the desert, and he also has perfectly obeyed God's law on our behalf. And that's the character of this water. That's how we have life with God restored to us. Now that water jug that the Holy Spirit uses is the vessel of faith. If that vessel had some vivid written on it, it would say faith. And that's what the Holy Spirit uses. This illustration helps us to consider what the Westminster Confession is talking about. And I'd like to use this illustration. The Holy Spirit dips the jug in life-giving water. He brings the jug full of water to us, and he pours that life-giving water into us. And so we're going to see this, that faith is the instrument of justification, but also the focus of faith by which we are justified is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is going to produce within us the life of faith. So those are the three points: the instrument, the focus, and the life of faith. Now in the illustration, the Holy Spirit is bringing the life-saving water to you in this water jug. It's the only thing the Spirit will use. It's the only way to get that water. The Spirit doesn't make it magically just come over to you. No, he takes this jug and he uses that jug. That's why faith, paragraph 2, is the only instrument of justification. This is what the Spirit has determined to use. When you have drunk this life-giving water, which is the work of Jesus Christ, now what are you going to give thanks for? You're going to give thanks for the water that is in the jug. And while the Spirit had to use the jug, it wasn't the jug that brought you life. It wasn't the jug that made you life. You didn't swallow the jug. You swallowed the water. And that's what gave you life. It was the water in the jug. And that's why the Westminster Confession identifies faith as an instrument. It's a necessary instrument. Without it, there is no life. There's no way to get that water to you. Yet it's not your faith that saves you. It's the work of Christ that saves you. So what should you say? What would you say when you've been made alive by the work of Jesus? I thank the Holy Spirit for giving me the jug? No. I thank the Holy Spirit for using the jug, but I'm so grateful. I'm grateful because the Holy Spirit has used the jug and has brought the water of life to me. Because it is by faith that you have allowed me to participate in the work of Jesus Christ. Now that's kind of the instrumental character of faith. But we need to recognize that there are some time markers for how this is going to work. Because from eternity, God has determined that this is the way that He is going to save the elect. He's going to save those who are sinners. He's going to justify the ungodly. God has established that from eternity, that Christ would be their justification, and that Christ would accomplish His work upon the cross and in His resurrection. And then the Spirit would bring faith and use faith to draw people into the work of Jesus Christ. That faith would be the instrument. We need to trust that work that He is doing. Salvation is planned from eternity. That's an astounding reality. It's all established there. It's all recorded for us. And Scripture can speak of the eternal character of our justification because it's talking about it from God's perspective. But now we need to be careful here, because while we've been elected or predestined, as Ephesians 1 tells us, before the foundation of the world, that doesn't mean we're yet saved. Salvation, while it's planned in eternity, comes to pass in time. God works it out in your time and in my time, according to His schedule and by His design. His plan to give you life also includes that you will need the faith to be drinking from Christ, to recognize the character of that vessel. And salvation begins when the Holy Spirit actually brings you the water and starts to pour it in. That's the wonder. Though it has been planned from eternity, and God has decreed to justify all the elect, nevertheless, they are not justified until in due time the Holy Spirit actually applies Christ to them. It's when then that you can say, oh, I see. The reason I'm alive is because of the work of Jesus Christ. And that's been the way it has always been with every elect person who has ever been justified, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. That is the case. That's why paragraph 6 says it's always the same. This is God's work of salvation. That's the way it was with Abraham. With Abraham, Abraham believed God, and God credited to him as righteousness. David saw that. Romans 4 tells us that. Blessed is he whose sins are forgiven, whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. That's what David saw. This is the witness of Hebrews 11. All those who drank from Christ, who had received the faith, but recognized it was Christ who gave them life. And so that's the character of this instrument. Faith needs to be there. Your faith, your believing. You see, God doesn't believe on your behalf. God knows this is going to happen. But instead, what He does is He gives you a faith. Hebrews 2, verse 8 through 10. He gives you a faith to see and to recognize and to drink deeply from the well of living water which the Holy Spirit brings. This is why I think beautifully in Romans 5, verse 5, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a beautiful description of that believing instance when we come to cling to Jesus Christ. And this leads us, secondly, to the focus of faith. And as we consider the focus of our faith, I would like us to consider paragraph 3. Christ, by his obedience and death, fully discharged the debt, and he made a proper and full satisfaction to the Father's justice in their behalf. The focus of faith is singularly, it's one focus on the work of Jesus, especially that twofold character of his sacrifice for sins and his perfect fulfillment of the law. Think back then to the illustration. When we say that we're saved by faith alone, sometimes it's suggested it's the value of the faith. No, it's not the water jug. It's the work of Christ. And now our faith often gets out of focus. We lose sight of the centrality of the work of Jesus Christ, and we begin to look inward. And we ask ourselves, have I really done enough? Have I really been good enough? Have I been faithful enough? But there's something else that can weaken our faith. And paragraph 3 is so helpful. Right in the center there, with that beginning with that word yet, talking about the work of Jesus, yet because he was freely given by the Father for them, and because his obedience and satisfaction were freely accepted in their stead, and not for anything in them, their justification is only of free grace. Well, let's think about that phrase. Because his obedience and satisfaction, that's the twofold character, satisfaction of justice and perfect obedience to the law, were freely accepted in their stead. Accepted by whom? Is it because we accept it? Because faith says amen to those realities? Yes, that's part of it. But I think what the Westminster Confession is talking about here is not that it's accepted by us, by simply the fact that faith says yes and amen. No, faith has to say yes and amen to that. But I think what the Westminster Confession is driving at is actually that the Father accepts them. This is what God's Word is telling us from Genesis to Revelation. The Father accepts the work of the Son. Christ was freely given by the Father. And the Father, in their stead, in place of them, accepts the obedience and the satisfaction of Jesus Christ. What a glorious reality to hold on to. There shouldn't be any question, because this is what the Father has said and has been saying again and again to his people, to believers throughout the ages. This is how you have peace with God. That's what Romans 5 verse 1 is telling us. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, since the Father has said in his word from the beginning right to the end, I accept the work of the Son in your place, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous focus this is. So when you have doubts about your salvation, when you wrestle and you struggle and you're feeling those doubts creeping up, and you want to say with the man whose son was healed, I believe, help my unbelief, and those doubts may swamp your soul. What is it that your faith needs to focus on? What is it that you need to hear from the pulpit? What is it that you need to read from the Word? What is it that you need to use to counter this assault of the devil? You need to use what the Father has said. But I know from God's Word, God uses his word to focus our faith on what he does, that he says, no, child of God, you who find your hope and your assurance in Jesus Christ, realize I accept the work of Christ in your place. The Father says that. What a tremendous blessing. So when you have those doubts, the temptation, the inclination is to dig deep. Does it really exist within your soul? And God's Word is saying, no, listen to God. Look to Jesus Christ. Focus your faith on Him and see that He is a sufficient Savior. See that he is a satisfactory Savior and recognize what the Father has said. I accept his work in your place, and let that bolster your faith. When you know and you trust what the Father says, when your faith is focused on Jesus, this glorifies the Father. Because it shows us his purpose. His purpose in the justification of sinners, of those who are weak, of those who are frail, of those who falter. In the justification of sinners, he glorifies his exact justice and his rich grace. He glorifies that. What a focus in the work of Jesus Christ. This is the way God glorifies himself. This is the glory of his grace that we need to stand on, that we need to be strengthened by, that we need to listen for in God's word, that we need to stand in awe of. And this is what prompts and propels our worship. It's this desire to hear again and again what God says and how he reveals and how he's teaching and how he is helping our weak and frail hearts, our sinfully inclined hearts to find peace with him. Where do you find that peace? Not in a deeper faith, not in a stronger faith, but in a deeper Savior and a stronger Savior whom God has provided for you. And Jesus says, the faith the size of a mustard seed that simply clings to the work of Jesus is what we need. Because it's not in our internal strength, but in the strength of our Savior. So our faith needs to be focused on that. And we need to recognize that the water that the Spirit gives, the instrument we receive that is faith. But then thirdly, there needs to be the life of faith. So the instrument of justification is faith alone. The focus of faith is Christ alone. But this faith, while an instrument, and the only instrument of justification, while it's the only instrument of justification, it is not a lonely instrument of grace. When you have drunk deeply from the well of life and have had this water of life poured into your mouth, and you will become alive in the work of Christ. It follows, doesn't it? If faith is focused on how Christ is your life, then your life will start to look like Christ. I think this is why some of the devil's greatest assaults is to undermine and to attack this glorious truth of justification by Christ alone. Or to make you doubt the sufficiency of your faith. And the way to counter that is to say, yes, I know my faith is weak, but I have a strong Savior who holds me regardless. This water is graciously given, and it's a water that enlivens. Paragraph 1 reminds us that the faith that is given is not a dead faith, because Christ is not a dead Savior. That's what Romans 5, verses 10 and 11 remind us of. If we were enemies, while we were enemies, here's the truth. While we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. That's the reality of justification. Now Paul introduces the reality of sanctification. If we've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled. There's no question about it. We are reconciled. Shall we be saved by His life? We have a resurrected Savior. We have a Savior who lives. And because He lives, we live. And we live out of the fullness of our justification. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. He's a living Savior. And so justifying faith is to a faith that works in love. A faith that works in love. That's what Jesus does. He works in love. He gives himself up as the supreme sacrifice. He obeys in love. Love for his Father and love for his children. That faith that feeds on him, that faith that has been fed and nourished by him in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, is a faith that needs to work in love, because it shows Jesus. Justification is what makes us right with God. But Christ's work was completed through his cross and resurrection. And his resurrection means that we have a living Savior and a living faith. This is the more than. We rejoice in God. This is the incentive and the motivation for worship and for godly living. This is the reason we stand and we hope. And this is where actually Paul begins in Romans 5. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, what's it going to take to arrive at that destination in the hope of the glory of God? We're going to go through suffering. And that suffering has a purpose, has a godly design. This is the way God works with our faith. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because, go right back to the beginning, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a glorious reality. Justification by faith alone. This is the engine that propels Christian living. This is the engine that brings us and reminds us of our security and our peace with God. May God help us to live out this illustration. Let our lives be an illustration of the wonder of God's justification by faith alone. Amen.